Good morning, everyone. The morning is the 18th of March, Monday morning. And so we start up another week. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. Isaiah 38:14. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Morning, Villa Church. Welcome aboard this morning. Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Ye need of patience while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning, Afzal Masih Bahati, and good morning, Ashley Kennedy. Greetings to you, too, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've just read from Isaiah 38:14, Psalm 6:2-4, Psalm 55:4-6, Hebrews 10:36, Acts 1:10-11, Philippians 3:20, and Titus 2:13. Well, I recently heard a person make the statement that We all know that when we die, that's all there is. And we just can't deal with it. That's what this atheist said. She said, we all know in our very being that this is all there is. This life is all there is. And when we die, we're dead. Well, we all don't know that. Some of us know something else. Some of us realize that we are eternal beings. Some of us know beyond a shadow of doubt that this isn't all there is. But it's been revealed to us by His Spirit. Our spirits bear witness with His Spirit that we are, in fact, the children of God. It's hard for us to fathom why God would have such love and mercy to adopt us into His family. It's hard for us to fathom that we would have an eternal Father that has called us out of this darkness into His marvelous light. When we think on these things, it gives us pause to wonder, why me? Why a wretched, unworthy sinner would God choose me? Not because of anything that we have done, but because of His own mercy and grace, He saved us. You know, sometimes people that are the most intelligent in terms of this world, in terms of being able to get around all of the odds in this life, are the most spiritually inept. Because they have not been born again by the Spirit of God. I think a lot about my childhood. Maybe I'm going back to my childhood. I don't know. But I think a lot about my childhood and things that happened as I was growing up. As I woke up this morning, good morning, Stephen Sarker, and also welcome aboard all the rest of you who have joined us. You're welcome. I'm glad you joined us this morning. Have you thought about your childhood recently and things from a spiritual context as you were growing up? What were you taught about God? What were you taught about His grace and love? You know, most of my childhood was absent of teachings, the teaching of the grace of God. Most of the teaching was on works. It should have been by works are you saved, not of faith, lest any man should not depend on himself. That was basically the way I was brought up. Not of grace, but of works. We would sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. But then everything else was based upon works. Some people go through their whole life and they see themselves as a pretty good guy or a pretty good gal. You know, they'll tell you, oh, I'm just as good as the next guy. I've tried to live a good life, they will tell you. You know, I've tried to be nice to people. I've tried to give to other people. I've tried to reach out and so on and so forth. But, you know, that won't pass the test with Almighty God if we're relying upon our own selves. The only thing that will pass the test with God is His Son. And His Son passed the test. His Son completed the work that His Father sent Him to do. How many times have we been given orders by our parents to do something and maybe for one reason or another it didn't get done? And then they would come back and say, how come you didn't do what I told you to do? And we have all of these excuses, don't we? Christ was separated from His Father. That was part of the aspect of His doing His Father's work, to be separated from His Father. And He endured the suffering and the pain and the scorn and the ridicule of all of His creation. But you know, it must have been a very black day. It said that there was great darkness on the face of the earth when Christ died. But you know what happened when He rose again? People came up out of the graves. And the sun must have been brilliant that morning. Jesus rose from the dead. All of creation must have been crying out in honor and glory to Him. You know, there's no greater thought in my mind than that great resurrection morning. No greater thought in my mind. Paul said if Christ had not rose from the dead, we would be yet in our sins. And what power was demonstrated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. And that gives us hope of the resurrection. And one of these days we are going to be given glorified bodies that will never age, they'll never wear out. And we can't even imagine that, can we? We can think on it. We can ascertain what it would be like. But you know, for those of us who've experienced firsthand the law of thermodynamics, the body's wearing out, decay, and everything that goes along with it. You know, we have the great hope that one day we will put off these mortal bodies and we will put on immortality. We'll be swallowed up in victory. And I'm looking forward to that day when I have a glorified body. You know, Christ gave it all up. Good morning, Pius Acero. Welcome aboard. He gave it all up. He left his ivory palaces. Come down. Shed his precious blood on the cross for his people. He came to certify, to make certain that all of his elect would be with him. He certified it. No, he didn't get some kind of certificate you place on a wall. But he got the certification from his Father above. His word tells us that God has given him a name that is greater than any name. The name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is put him above all things, made him preeminent over all things. He's given him power over all flesh. And so our certainty of eternal life cannot be more assured than in the work of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that Jesus Christ accomplished what he came to do. It was determined before the creation of the world in a covenant between the Godhead that Jesus Christ would come to save his people from their sins. This was an eternal covenant. His bleeding hands and feet are proof. You ever thought about that? His bleeding hands and feet are proof that God the Father's demands were met. Foreordained before creation, God's decree was already set. Before you and I were ever born, he was slain, you see. His bleeding hands, wounds, and hands and feet were a crucial part of this decree. God's justice was met through Christ on Calvary for such a wretched sinner, and that sinner was me. Thank you, Lord, for suffering in my stead. to raise me to new life from the dead. Well, we're going to be raised to new life from the dead, from this physical life, like I said, one of these days. And we're going to be ushered in to the New Jerusalem. And we can't really fathom what that day in eternity is going to be like when we're ushered into the realms of glory. Let the gospel be proclaimed far and wide. Jesus Christ came, and for sinners he did die. His Father gave them to the Son. "It is finished," he cried. "The work, it is done." Never again must a sacrifice be made. Christ was 3 days in the ground, but rose from that grave. Yes, he died, was buried, and rose for his people to save. They are no longer under the curse of sin, for the Holy Spirit has caused them to be born again. And when we falter and succumb to sin, Christ our mediator forgives us again. Thanks for saving us by your grace. Well, I'm thankful this morning that we can proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. And, you know, one of these days, we're going to have a magnificent welcome into glory. We're going to meet all of those saints who've gone before us, but most importantly, we're going to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've often wondered why Christ had to come to die. But the more we read his word, we find out that justice had to be met. We were in a condition that was hopelessly helpless, apart from a perfect sacrifice being made to atone for our sins. That's why he had to come. That's why he came, so the justice would be met. Well, I hope this morning and this week will be good for you, and I hope that we will keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, realizing the great work that he's done on Calvary. The Apostle Paul's focus was on Christ and him crucified. He told this beautiful story until they killed Paul, and he died. This should be our focus for our remaining days, to tell the wondrous story how Christ came to save. It's easy to get off track, focus on other things like baptism and fellowship dinners and how the choir sings. But there's nothing more important that the Christian should do than proclaiming that Christ was crucified to the world too. We cannot add to or subtract from the bride of Christ, but preaching the gospel like Paul should for us suffice. So let's not pretend we're proclaiming Christ and him crucified when we are never telling the world that for sinners he did die. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory, honor, and power. Christ has put all things under his feet. Praise God for the mercy seat. Or Satan would God's people devour. To think that Christ sits in glory interceding for me should give me enough reason to praise and honor the Son for dying on the cross. The work of salvation is done. when we think about heaven, we think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we are also told, given a description of this New Jerusalem in Revelation, the light of the city is like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and the city is pure gold like transparent glass. All kind of jewels make up this great city, we are told. Sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, pearls, and gold. There is no temple in this great city, we are told, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple and light of it. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I live up in the mountains of the Ozarks, and there's a highway that goes down through the Ozarks, I-49, Interstate 49, and it winds around through Bella Vista, Arkansas, then it goes into Rogers, Arkansas, and it goes into Springdale, Arkansas, and then it goes into Fayetteville, Arkansas. And it's, if you're headed north on I-49, coming out of from Fort Smith, Arkansas, you're way, way up in the air, and you can see the great city of Fayetteville. And I've often, it's beautiful coming into that city. And I often commented to my wife, this reminds me, that looks like the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Great city. But there's no way Fayetteville, Arkansas could ever compare with the New Jerusalem. What that must be going to be like. You know, what we have to look forward to. And the greatest thing about that city is there's no sin there. Can you imagine living amongst a people and in a city where there's no sin, there's no curse, there's no pain, there's no tears, there's no sadness, no worries? It's hard to fathom, is it not? It's hard to fathom. Well, I want to just encourage you this morning. Appreciate all the people that have come on board with us this morning. And, you know, we have a great hope of our soul looking forward to Him. Man is searching for peace and joy, but can't find it in material things. He goes to church and listens to the choir sing. No, the only peace and joy is found in Christ, who created the world and paid the price. To secure eternal redemption for His sheep, this purchased salvation, joy, and peace. When God's people meet around His throne to praise and worship Christ the Lamb, there will be no doubt of the peace and joy then found only in the great I Am. God bless you this morning, and may His peace rest upon you.